congratulations to him. He caught a 180-pound, is it called a striped marlin?
Yes, sir.
And how long was it?
2.5 hours, 11.5 feet
long, and all that right there. So that's a blessing right there all the time. He fought it for 2.5 hours, and it was enough to do him. That's all he needed after 2.5. That's one you had online.
You
know, son. Yeah, there you go. Took him 2.5 hours to find it. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 35. You'll find the place you're able to stand in the book of Psalms. Is it all right? All right, good enough. I can't remember when I turn it on, turn it off, what I'm doing, but anyhow. All right, Psalm chapter 35. We'll read one passage there as we look into this chapter. Psalm 35, verse 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together. We pray your blessings now upon each and every prayer request. We ask you to bless this sermon to every heart, and we'll thank you, Lord, in advance for it. And Lord, we look with great anticipation to thy soon coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, if I might, on my soul magnifies the Lord. You know, in the day we live in, you hear a whole lot of people talking about on TV, you know, the president talking about the soul of a nation. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The soul of this nation's gone to hell in a handbasket. But that's not the soul you ought to be worried about. What is your soul in relation to the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ? Let me say to you, when the world talks about the soul of a nation, they're talking about something outward. When you and I talk about the soul here, we're talking about man's a spirit, a soul, and a body. Has he saved your soul? I'm going to tell you, we're not of them that draw back into perdition, but to them that believe. The Bible said in Hebrews in chapter number 10, to the saving of the soul. You know, every now and again, I spend a little time, and it doesn't matter if I'm sitting on the porch or under a shade tree, or if I'm in a deer stand, or if I'm simply in the comfort of my home in that recliner, or wherever that it is. And I just like to, every now and again, run an inventory and think about how good God has been to me. I ain't got to look very far. I can tell you right up front, dear friend, is that there's no way to be able to think about the benefits of God and to be able to rightly digest and to know how good that God has been. I think about, you know, in this lesson that we're looking at, that real worship is what it'll do for you when you come to know him and God's done something deep down in your soul. Real worship is what it'll produce in your heart and your life. Did you notice something here, there, in about verse number, Psalms 40, about verse 2? Just look at the passage there, or you can listen to it. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. Did you ever stop to think about where God brought you from, where you would have been, could have been, should have been, had it not been for the marvelous grace of God? I'm telling you right now is that whenever I say to you, if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell right now, I mean that. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now, and you'd be there with me too. Now, I'm glad it's not that way. I'm glad by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, God's done something in snatching us as a brand from the burning. And let me tell you, he saved our soul, set our feet upon the solid rock, and established our going. You know, the reason you don't think the way you used to think is because he's done something real in your heart, brought you out of a horrible pit. You know, the reason why you don't talk the same as you used to, God saved your soul and made you new in Christ Jesus. Then you realize and know that, listen, buddy, the reason you walk different, talk different, look different, act different is because of the grace of God and the touch of God that he's put upon your heart and your life. Let me say to you that whenever you look in that, you realize, no, that's why you come together like this. And that's the reason why whenever you hear good singing and God's breeze upon you, it makes you want to say amen. Makes you want to realize and know that he's God. Besides him, there is none else. Makes you realize and know the reason why the world's going to hell in a handbasket is because of the fact they want to follow another Jesus that gives them permission to live any way they want to live, do anything they want to do. I got to tell you something, is that the Jesus who bowed his head died on the cross and gave up the ghost and rose again the third day to win victory over death, hell, and the grave. That Jesus, friend, will change your heart. He'll change your life. He didn't come to save you in sin. He came to save us from sin. Not only that, but you'll find out that whenever we got saved, it produces real worship. Not only that, but it'll put a remembrance in you. Did you ever stop to think ever now and again where God brought you from? Do you ever stop to think about where you was when God found you and brought you into the family of God? Every now and again, it does good to think about that. Lord, I just want to say thank you for what you've done for me. I just want to say thank you. I can tell you right now, I don't have to stop in very long at a time and look, and I can see the blessings of God walking through my house. And she'll be bringing me something to drink, or you wanting to know that I, and I stop and think about where God's brought her from. And I'm going to tell you right up front is that you talk about could it be better? I can tell you it could always be worse. I'm glad to say that it's good that every now and again we can remember. I can remember some of you when God birthed you in. I stop and think on that every now and again. I've seen sometime with tears. I've seen with trembling. I've seen with, it's just good to remember what God has done around you and the blessings of God. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you recognize and realize is that we're not only remembering, but we're rejoicing in God and what he's done for us. Do you know that whenever you rejoice, you ought to rejoice in the grace of God? Were it not for the grace of God, you and I could have never gotten in. Were it not for the mercy of God, you and I can never be born again and be forgiven of our sin. But thanks be unto God for grace and mercy that's forgiven us of our sin. I rejoice. You know why? I'm a child of the King. Somebody may one of these days think, you know, well, what do you think you are? I'm a child of the King. And let me tell you right up front, if you're a child of the King, you are in royalty, friend. I'm not only an heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I rejoice because of the fact that he found me when I was lost and undone. Remember that song, somebody, when I was lost and undone without God or without his son, when he reached way down for me. I can tell you something, if you're saved here this morning, he reached down for you, snatched you as a brand from the burning, set you out of a bog hole on the solid rock. And as a result of that, you're no longer living on sinking sand. Number four is, I want to say to you that religion, in the day we live in, religion always has, does right now, will tomorrow. Always religion without God hates righteousness that comes from God. That's the reason why that in verse number one, the Bible said that he had people fighting against him all the time. You can read verse 1 of our text and you'll find out is that these are people that were in a state of confusion. These are people that were fighting against him because that he was right. These are people that were, the Bible said, chaff. Do you realize to know that if you know somebody that's lost without God, I don't care how good of an opinion they may have built and whatever rapport they built with humanity, in the sight of God, they're pure trash. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? In the sight of God, if you die religious, I don't care how much money you gave, how many deeds you've done benevolently, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, all the world can think nice of you. In the sight of God, you're pure trash, and he'll burn you up. Now, that's sad, but that's true. In the lesson that we're looking at, notice, if you will, please, over there in this thing that he said, notice in verse 6 of our text, he said, let their way be dark and slippery. Now, you know, I found out in the days gone by, when I got saved, I thought, you know what the problem is? There's just not enough people telling the truth about what salvation really is. But they're going to be glad to hear it. Boy, was I in for a rude awakening. I had people that I thought really knew the Lord, that really knew God. Son, you talk about treated me like I was death eating a soda cracker and thought, I mean, he's awful coming in here and telling me how to be saved and telling me what's right in the sight of God. And let me say to you, this Bible said their way's dark, their way's slippery. Now, if you're not saved here this morning, you're on slippery ground. I remember years ago is that Brother Terry Rice, and in fact, Brother David, had told me about a place over there on the Sabine River. Deadwood, is it out? Where's that? Yeah. So me and Nathan and Jacob, we took off over there and decided that we'd go over there and put in. It looked like a wash had come in on the boat ramp, and half of it had some kind of sandy top, mud, and when you stepped on it, you're going down. I'm telling you right now, you talk about slick. And when you step on that, buddy, you're going down. You get out there on the bank, you're going to be in the river. Well, anyhow, we put in there, and we went ahead and went on and so forth and on. But I thought about how slippery that was. And I want to tell you something, that's the way that religion without God is that you're just walking around on a slippery slope, and sooner or later, you're going to slide in. Look in your Bible, don't lose your text, but in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's a familiar passage that you've seen in days gone by, but needs to be reminded of every now and again. In Deuteronomy chapter number 32, look in verse number 1. The Bible said, for their rock, talking about religion, their rock is not as our rock. Their rock is different. Our rock's the Lord Jesus Christ. Their rock is something that's the figment of their imagination. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. You see, our rock is against Sodom and Gomorrah. Our rock's against Sodomy. Our rock is against these faggots or these quits. Our rock is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, they've got room in their rock for this kind of perverted lifestyle. Somebody said, are you homophobic? No, I just know what a pervert is whenever I read the Bible and compare the Bible to what they are. It's a difference, a matter of being recognized as a pervert and in the day and hour that we're living in. Of course, you know how they'll try to intimidate you. Have you got a degree? Have you got a degree in biology? Do you have a degree in all that? I don't have to have a degree in nothing to read the Bible and know the difference between saved and lost and being right and being straight and being a pervert in the sight of God. You ain't even got to have a third grade education to be able to know that. This Bible said, for their vines, the vine of Sodom in the fields of Gomorrah, and notice, and their grapes are the grapes of gall, clusters are bitter, their wines are poison of dragons, cruel venom and ass, as a vasp. He said, is not this laid up in store with me and sealed among my treasures? And watch it, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Now I'm going to tell you something. All of this bunch of transvestite, pervert, queer bunch, I got to tell you right now, in due time, their foot's going to slip. But I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about you sitting here among me, with me this morning. If you're not saved by the grace of God, if you've never had God knock on your heart and you bowed your head and bowed your heart and trusted Jesus Christ, you're walking on slippery ground, and sooner or later, you're going to slide into the same hell that pervert bunch is going to. In fact is, do you realize it though, that the unbeliever is in the head of the pack that goes to hell without hope, without God? All the preaching that you've heard, all the knocking on your heart's door that God by the Spirit has done, and you've not, yes, Lord, and opened up your heart unto Him. Well, over here, here's what they were doing. They were busy talking about the psalmist. Here's a man that's after God's own heart. And let me say to you, you're going to find out before the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again, you might as well recognize and realize that we live in a world that will accept everything contrary to the mind of God, and they fight everything that God is for. If God's for it, the world's against it. Religious world. If God's against it, they're for it. Make no mistake about it that we live in a world that's perverted, without hope, and that's without God. I want to say last but not least that back in your text, I'm glad to be saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. Notice, if you will, please, is that he talks about, if you read the whole chapter, that we're joyful in the Lord. I don't have anything I can brag on myself about. I mean, even if I wanted to brag on it, I'd have to give glory unto God. But let me say to you that I'm joyful in the Lord. I'm glad God has allowed me to live and God's allowed me to be able to see some things that I've seen. I'm glad most of all that he showed me I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thank God now I can see. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we ought to be rejoicing in the salvation that is of the Lord. I begin to notice something when you begin to see this in verse number 18. He said, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. And he says, not only that, but I will praise thee among much people. I want to tell you something. I'm not only saved by the grace of God, rejoicing in the fact that I'm saved, but I'm going to shout that out even in the great congregation. And I'm not just talking about here in this congregation, but I will say that whenever the whole family of God's brought together in one place, we'll be shouting throughout eternity in the great congregation that is of the Lord. Look in verse 27. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad in thy favor, that favor of my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to shout for God and shout with God. Why, do you realize that whenever I'm a child of the king, I'm going to a place that's got a street made of gold, paved with gold. And we're worried about gold rising and falling and this and that and all of that. But I got to tell you, when we rise, we're going to go to where there's a street of gold, of pure gold, and likened to glass. I want to say in verse 28, we're closing, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. If you're a child of God, you can't help but praise him. If you're a child of God, you can't help but stop, reminisce on where he's brought you from, where you would have been had it not been for his marvelous grace and mercy. If you're a child of God, you see, then you're able to exalt and to magnify his name. Now, you know, you don't have to run around and just everybody you come to ask him, are you saved? If you're not, bow your head and all this mess and that. Here's what you do is that the devil will purposely send somebody along your way and make you, and the Lord will give you liberty to speak in his behalf. It may be a simple thing like the subject of tithing. It might be the subject of how to be proper. It might be the subject of a good old-fashioned bar of American soap to wash your nasty mouth out with. I like what Brother David said this morning when he talked about filthiness and foolishness. He said, if we had more of the word of the Lord in our heart and in our mouth, we'd have less room for some of that other. That's the truth of the matter. That is true. Listen, I didn't write the book. He didn't write it. But we are deliverers of the mail, and you know that's the right thing. Amen. You know what? Boys and girls ought not to be growing up learning four-letter words from our mouth. You want me to say that slower? Our children and grandchildren ought not to be learning filthy four-letter words from our mouth. I don't care who you are and where you're from. That's the word of the Lord. See? If you got a problem with that, take it up with him. Go ahead and cuss me all you want to, but you better take that up with him. See? I want to say in closing here this morning as we look into this lesson that I don't know about you, but I'm glad that my soul can magnify the Lord because I'm a child of the king. If you're saved, so are you. You know, there's something brushing your teeth won't get rid of. Because you know why? Those bristles won't reach down to your heart. But I guarantee you right here, this will reach down to your heart. And if you'll sometimes spend some quality time just listening to and looking at what God. Now, I'm not talking about when you slammed your finger and you screamed something like, well, shoot! Somebody said, yeah, well, God really knows what you wanted to say. Well, he might, but you don't. And you can say the other around me if you want to. I'm not going to flinch hardly any. That's how cold and callous I've become. But I can tell you, I wonder how God feels about it. See? And if you're going to say that around your children, when they say it, you ought not to be chastening and scourging them. Our kids ought not to be chastised for something we taught them. That's good. I appreciate both amens and all of that business right there. I've not been in a congregation this quiet since I went by the Methodist church and they were taking unholy communion. I heard one of them say, shoot, where's the grape juice at? See what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. I don't know about you, but I'm a child of the King, and I'd like to be able to represent him and the royal family of God that we're a part of. All right? All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I pray you'd finish the message in every heart. I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. I pray you'd be with those now that could not be here. Touch those now that are sick. Lord, I pray that you'd heal them. I pray you'd save the lost. Yes. I pray that, Lord, that you'd right every wrong about us. Help us to be busily occupied about your business when you so come again, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. We say with the men and women, prophets and men of God and women of old, in days gone by, we say, even so come. Lord Jesus, now bless, I pray, your word to every heart in Jesus' name.